for giving the opportunity to present this talk, which is this research, which is joint with Zev Rudnik from Tel Aviv University. This is about the nodal lines for random eigenfunctions of the Laplacian on the torus, and don't worry, I will explain what it means. So our basic setup is that we have some Riemannian manifold, for example, surface M, and the Laplace-Beltrami operator on M, which we call delta. And it is well known that its spectrum is discrete. We have we define the eigen spaces E lambda, and to make the eigenvalues positive, we sum, we add lambda f rather than subtracting it. So this way, we make it positive. And we know that there is a basis of L to M, which consists of eigenfunctions, and we order them by a non-decreasing order of the corresponding eigenvalues. And yeah.
Probably
is
there a compact Riemannian manifold.
Yeah.
And it's not completely clear to me if you have a very, very rough metric, whether you couldn't have continuous metric. How much
before? I think it's a known result. I think it's a known. So we denote throughout this talk, we'll denote a capital M to be the dimension of this eigenspace. So, the fundamental object of our interest is the nodal line of some function which depends on, which is defined on this manifold. So given a function, the corresponding nodal line is just the set of zeros of this function. And it is a theorem that if this function is smooth, it is actually a line, meaning that this is a smooth curve. So it's, if it's a surface, I concerned myself to two dimensions, but whatever I'm saying will be quite rough. But let's think about two dimensions. So. And we are interested naturally in case that this function is an eigenfunction. So why we are interested in this case? Because the nodal lines have an impact on the dynamics on this manifold. We would like to answer a very difficult question. What happened to the nodal line as the dimension of the eigenspace goes to infinity? And if the dimension of the eigenspace goes to infinity, then it implies that the eigenvalue must go to infinity. But the converse implication is not correct. We can have one-dimensional eigenspaces for arbitrarily large eigenvalues. So this question is very difficult, and for example, because it's not very well formulated. So therefore, where we are making an easier question, but much better formulated. So, for example, we compute different parameters of these nodal lines. For example, we compute the most fundamental object is its length. But we can compute some other more or less clear notions of the curvature and linear measure, which I don't want to define, but it exists. It's some kind of parameter on. So let's take an example of a concrete eigenfunction on a concrete manifold. So, for example, we can take the two-dimensional torus, which is embedded to the R2, and it is just R2 over G2. So we can take the following eigenfunctions, family of eigenfunctions, multiple of signs acting on the ordinate x times the signs acting on the ordinate, on the abscis. So the corresponding eigenvalue, here we assume that n and m are obviously integer. Otherwise, it won't be a function defined on the torus. So the corresponding eigenvalue is 4 pi squared times m squared plus n squared. Now, from this explicit formula for this eigenfunction, it's very easy. It's not very difficult to figure out what is going to be the nodal line. This is just a union of horizontal and vertical lines. So we have it here. So this is actually a grid on the torus, which we think of as square. And it's also not very difficult to compute the length, which is just 2 times m plus n, which is some of the lengths of the vertical and the horizontal lines. And from this expression, we can easily deduce that if we take this length, L, and normalize it by the square root of the eigenvalue, then it will fluctuate between those two concrete numbers, 1 over pi and square root of 2 over pi. Now, what is known about the length? So first, there is the conjecture of Yau that for any two-dimensional linear analytic manifold, the length of the nodal line is bounded by some two from below and above by some two constants, C0 and C1, times the square root of the eigenvalue. So this is a conjecture. This conjecture was proved in a very generic situation in 2 steps. First, the lower bound was shown by Brüning and Grom for a planar case, and actually it was extended for any dimension. And a much more difficult result is to give an upper bound. It was done by Donnelly and Pfefferman in this year for real analytic metric. Now I would like to explain what is the random combination of functions. Suppose that we have some function. Yeah. That could be true. Oh, that doesn't contradict the conjecture. So, yeah. So, probably it's true. If you. No, there is no obvious reason. Because the proof works for only for the. Yes, you can. I think that I just concentrated in the real analytic case, but it may be a conjecture on the C infinity case. So I would like to explain what is the random combination. So suppose we have a collection of function f, a finite sequence of function f1, f2 until fk, defined on this manifold, which are real valued function, and suppose that we have some random variables defined on the same sample space or the sample probability space omega, and the most fundamental ones are just Gaussian IID, standard Gaussian IID. So we can construct this formal linear combination of those functions. We call it the random linear combination of those functions associated to this set of random variables. And we can compute, so given this function, we can compute its length, we can compute its nodal line, and given this nodal line, we can compute its length. So the conclusion from this story is the length of the nodal function